Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
You know, it's Vision Sunday, and with Vision, a word comes up that makes everybody excited. That word is change. All right, hey, back of Sparks again. Do I need to get you guys doing all the yelling and stuff today? You know, change is a word that when it's said, somebody says, oh, we need to change some things. You don't immediately think, yay, that's great. You think, right? You think, and you ask some questions. Here's what you want to know when we talk about change. What is changing? Why is it changing? And the big one, you don't really care that much about those first two. That's just information. How is this going to affect me? That's what we really want to know. And I am a fan of change that I initiate. All right. If you want to change something, we might have a problem, because I'm not a big fan of change that other people initiate there. Because change, even good change, makes people nervous. And a lot of times there's losses even amidst the gains. And an example would be 8 years ago this week, I actually started the lead pastor role here at Catalyst. And some of you are still trying to figure out, how does that affect me, and am I excited about that or not? But more recently, a year ago today, we launched our Bacchus Marsh campus. Yeah. And for those of you in Bacchus Marsh, look around. It's a little different than when we started, yeah? It's exciting. It's an exciting day there. It's an exciting day here. And, you know, as a leader, I do love vision. But there are some things that I don't love. And a few of those things are, I don't like change just for change's sake, just because we got bored, so we're going to change some things up. And I don't want growth that costs us our hearts. We talked about that last week. Jason Perkins from the ICN Network was with us, and he talked passionately about that, about making sure that our hearts are in line with God. And I don't like changing things that creates momentum that's not sustainable. I don't want to do something that we're not going to be able to continue doing. So those are a few things I don't like about change. But some questions that every organization, every family, every community needs to be asking themselves as they grow are right here. Questions we should be asking. How do we stay healthy? How do we stay aligned? And how do we not lose what matters most? Those are core questions. Whether you're a church person or not, whether you're a God person or not, if you're a business person or something like that, these are questions you should be asking. But for the church, for us, these aren't just good strategic questions. These are spiritual questions. These are questions that we need to be wrestling with every decision that we make. So today is not about chasing something new. Today is actually about pausing long enough to say, where has God brought us? And what is God doing amongst us? Because when God's at work, things do shift. And we need to be making sure that the shifts we make are in line with His calling and His purposes. See, when God grows a mission, He prepares people and He puts them in place to lead that mission, to grow that mission. And, you know, we believe that the church is not built on personalities or programs or plans. We believe it's built on God's purpose, and He's raising up leaders to fulfill that, and He's engaging everyone in that mission. So today, it's not just about vision. It's not just about roles and structure, and it's definitely not about organizational charts, as much as I love organizational charts. I can tell you do too. Yeah. Today is about recognizing where God's already been working and joining Him in that and embracing that and engaging with that. Over the last 4 weeks, we've talked about, are you for real? And we've talked about what that looks like in terms of seeking God, in terms of being transformed and living by faith and staying healthy. And if you've missed any of those, you can go to our app, go to our YouTube channel, share that around. And all of those things that we've been looking at all leads to growth personally in us as individuals. But God never grows you or grows me just for our sake. When God is growing us, he's growing people so his mission can move forward. Because resolve, which is our word for the year, resolve without mission becomes self-improvement. And a lot of us need some self-improvement, yes? A lot of us would like to be better versions of ourselves, or we want to be that person we are on our best day all the time. But resolve without mission is just self-improvement. Resolve with mission becomes kingdom movement. And that, friends, is what we're on about today. That's what we're talking about today, is kingdom movement. Throughout history, when God gets ready to move outward, he first clarifies things inward. And that's some things I'm going to be sharing with you today are some things that he has clarified and direction he is taking us. So God doesn't just send people, he prepares them. So if you're wondering, are we ever going to get to the Bible? We're diving in right now. Matthew chapter 28 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Make note of that. That's very important. That's why it's in red. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. This, friends, is why we are here. This is why the church exists, the Big C Church, and every other church on the planet exists because of this, because Jesus said he's got all the authority, and he's telling us to go and make disciples of all the nations. Jesus' final words are our first priority. You notice Jesus begins with authority, not activity. That's significant because the mission flows from who he is, not what we do. If we get that backwards and we overemphasize what we do to the exclusion of who he is and what his mission is, then we've got it back to front and we get it all messed up. So the first thing we need to understand is that the mission is given, not invented. We didn't come up with the mission ourselves. Now, we've got some nice words around it and things like that that we use to remember it, but the mission came straight from him. He gave it. We didn't invent it. Jesus, before he ever talked about methods, before he ever talked about ministries or structures, or before he ever talked about how the church would operate, he made the why abundantly clear, that we are to take the life-changing message of the gospel to everyone. Our mission as a church has not changed. It hasn't softened. It's not confused. It hasn't shifted. And we say it like this around here. We say we're striving to be a loving community, seeking, serving, and sharing Jesus. That's the go make disciples. Okay, that's what it's all about. It starts with loving God and loving each other, and then seeking Jesus, serving Jesus, and sharing Jesus. That is why we exist. Matthew 28 goes on, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Good thing we had a baptism today. It just kind of fits in, yeah? That's great. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, when Jesus is talking here, he's assuming the go. The word go, that's assumed. You're going, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, Jesus says, you're going. That's an assumption. Making disciples is the command. That's the mandate. And then teaching them, baptizing them and teaching them, that is formation. That's lives being formed. And that's the long work of doing life in community as a church, as a community of faith. That's why we emphasize life groups and getting connected to those, because we believe that you're going to grow in your faith as it's lived out, rubbing shoulders with other believers, right? So go is assumed. Disciples, make disciples is the command. Jesus didn't say build an organization. He said make disciples, and discipleship happens through people. So God advances his mission through people, not programs. You know, lots of churches have tons of programs that fill up pages and pages and pages of their website. We have some programs, but not a ton, because God builds his mission through people, not programs. Doesn't mean programs are always bad, but programs can get overemphasized and become a distraction and a drain when they're put over people. When God wants to expand his mission, he raises leaders. When he wants to protect the mission, he clarifies roles. And when he wants to sustain the mission, he strengthens the structure. I want us to look back into the Old Testament scriptures to see an example of this being played out. And I think it really connects to where we're at as a church right now. In Exodus chapter 31, God had told the Israelites, his people, to build a tabernacle. They were wandering through the wilderness. A tabernacle was a tent for them to meet in. Now, it wasn't a tent like you go down to Anaconda and grab, and it's got the poles and all that. It had poles, but it's nothing like what you're thinking, okay? It was massive and lots of structure, and it had curtains, it had an altar, it had lots of furniture and all that stuff. But what was amazing is this place of worship where God's presence would dwell, before a single curtain was hung, before a single piece of furniture was built, before people ever gathered there, God appointed the people who would build it. Look at this. It says in Exodus 31, it says, "Look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel." Bezalel. Now that is a powerful verse. Those words, "I have specifically chosen," tell us a lot. We're going to see what Bezalel did here in just a minute. But notice that he was chosen. God didn't say, "Hey, look for somebody that'll stick their hand up and say, yes, I'll do it." He didn't say, "Find someone talented." He said, "I have chosen this guy." And then look what he says next. "I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts." Before he built anything, the Spirit of God rested on him. God put his Spirit in him. Before he built it with his hands, God filled him with his Spirit. And notice that Bezalel was not a priest. He was not a prophet. He's not a pastor. He is a craftsman. You know what that tells me? Is that God anoints skill. You ever hear somebody sing a beautiful song and a phrase you might hear in the church world sometimes? I don't use this phrase that much. That was anointed. Or you hear a message from a preacher. You say, "Wow, that was a special message from God today. That was specially anointed." Well, God here, we see God anointing skill. We see God making order of things. We see God establishing structure. See, God doesn't just look for preachers and singers and all those things. He looks for every role that needs to be filled in his kingdom and in his church. He empowers leadership. He empowers creativity and planning and care. I'm going to point out something today to you. Everybody look to that side of the building, the back corner. See the camera back there? Hey, camera back there. You see the rails around that camera? Those are brand new this week. Our camera people have been living dangerously over the last couple of years. And every Sunday I look at that and I think, someday somebody's going to fall off the back there. And there's a guy in this church. He's unassuming. He's not up front. He's up front right now. But he's not prominent in your view all the time. And I told him that I've been thinking about that. And a couple of weeks later, it's done. We have railing around that. Rob Mount does stuff like that around this place all the time. You know, Rob can do stuff like that because God has given him skills to do that. If I tried to do that, they would definitely fall off. They're better with no effort than my effort because God hasn't gifted me that way, but he's gifted Rob that way. You know, that's what we're talking about here, is how God empowers people. See, in God's kingdom, spiritual depth and practical ability are not competitors. They're actually partners. They work together to advance God's kingdom. If we continued to read through Exodus 31, we would see that God also gave other people to help him, because God never meant it to be a solo task. He built a team around him. He builds teams and he assigns roles. See, when God prepares a place for his presence, he prepares people to carry that responsibility. This wasn't organizational efficiency, it was spiritual intentionality, and I believe that God's still doing that today. He's shaping the next generation. He's strengthening families, and when he wants to do those things, he doesn't rush it. He crafts it. He crafts the people he wants to do it, and he makes the way for that, which brings us to a moment today that I have been excited to share with you for well over a month now. Not looking at this as a strategic decision, while it is, but as God's provision. I am so excited to tell you about this. Wow. You want to know? Okay, I hope you want to know. Because when God is ready to move, he raises the right leaders. And over the last few years, one of our biggest prayers as a church has been that God would raise up long-term leadership over the area of kids and families, over our next-gen space, not just programs, but discipleship across generations. And to be clear, we have done a really good job in our kids' space and in our youth space, and I am very thankful for the people that he's provided over the years that have willingly stepped in. Sometimes they were hired to do something completely different, but there was a need there, and Pastor Charlie jumped in. Mel did a great job leading us from a single service to two services and two campuses and all those things. But everybody that's been in that space has been stretched very thin. The volunteers have been stretched very thin. And we have been praying and seeking. And in the past, we've advertised looking for that person who is going to carry the generation's ministry well into the future, not just as a stopgap, not just as a willing person that says, yeah, I can do that, but as somebody that was gifted and trained. We've prayed for leadership that will help little people grow big faith, leadership that will walk with teenagers as they discover who they are and how God made them and that God has a plan and purpose for their life. Leadership that will partner with families so they don't have to do that alone, so parents don't have to do that struggle alone. And today, as a church, we get to celebrate something that I do not say lightly at all. God has answered our prayers. It is so exciting. Wow. Wow. You want me to keep going? Yeah. Okay. God's provided the right person with the right heart, with the right experience, with the right equipping, the right calling to lead our generation's ministry into the future. For several years, this person has been on my radar. I've had conversations with them over the years about long-term vocational ministry. And there's always been an openness, always a sense that, yeah, God's probably stirring something there, but the timing was never quite right. Late last year, some of you in November would have been in a meeting in this room where we approved a budget for 2026. It was an exciting night. And immediately after we approved the budget, which I had flagged for you, it has no new staff in it, and it's pretty trimmed budget and everything, and it's kind of one of those that makes your heart beat really fast because you're wondering how it's going to happen. And as soon as you approved it, I said something really radical. I said, we don't have new staff here in this budget, but I'm believing God for 2 full-time employees this year. And I'm not sure why I said it, but I was believing it. And somebody raised their hand. I thought, okay, I'm getting ready to get taken to the cleaners and there, all this. And they said, so how are you going to do that? Are you going to really pursue that? Or if the right person comes along, will you just say, okay, we're going to take a step of faith and do that? And immediately I said, yes. And the room was in agreement with that. It was great. It was a great moment. It was an empowering moment. From there, our team went to a conference in Brisbane. And we were in a session, or actually Pastor Deanna was in this session. And they were talking about building the team and all this stuff. And that we need to not be someone else's no for them. And when she heard that, unbeknownst to me, she wrote in her notebook, get and put the name there. right? She did that. She kept that to herself until all this I'm about to tell you was done. I didn't know she had done that. Wow, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. Then one Sunday, in one of those God-ordained moments between the services, I'm walking between the buildings and I see this person and I look at them and I said, it's time. And I kept walking. At the end of the second service, I went back to this person. I said, I just wish you hated being an assistant principal because it's time. That was on Sunday. On Wednesday, her spouse came in my office and said, that thing that you said, she's been processing that, and it has gotten her very restless. So I went and I told Pastor Deanna, who, by the way, if you don't know Pastor Deanna, she's my wife, as well as a pastor here. I went and told her, and we had a dinner engagement that night right away. And by the way, Pastor Deanna and I have been doing that for over 30 years, having dinner with people that are called to ministry. And so if you have dinner with us, look out. Anyway. So we went to dinner, and as we sat there at dinner, it became so obvious that God had been working, God had been stirring, God had been preparing for that moment. That was Wednesday. On Friday, I got a phone call that I will never forget. The voice on the other end of the phone was kind of cracking and a little bit shaky, and she didn't I? Wow, okay. She said, I've just told my principal I'm resigning. And friends, that's not cavalier. That's not being spontaneous. That's not an impulse. That's obedience. That's recognizing God working and saying yes to God. What felt sudden for us was actually the result of months and even years of preparation. So it is with deep gratitude and the utmost confidence that I'm excited to tell you who that person is today. God has provided to lead our kids' ministry into the next season. And in a few short months, not only our kids' ministry, but our whole generation's ministry, our family ministries. Our new director of Kidsmen is Beck Young. Now, we should have had a drum roll, and Beck should be up here already and everything, but you know where Beck is? She's in Kidsmen. Yeah, and I believe that's exactly the right place. She will be up here later, I promise you. But Beck is going to, she's starting today in that role, and then over the next few months, she will transition to Director of Family Ministries. And it's God's provision for this time, and her transition is aligning with her departure from the school where she's the assistant principal, because she wants to finish well there and set them up for a win, which is the right thing to do. I introduced Beck to your kids a few minutes ago, so they found out before you, because we value kids in this place. Beck is not new to that space. She's been serving there for years. She's helped in teaching and just running the programs, and she's also developed our Safe Churches processes over there. After they were written, the policies were written, she enacted them. She's assessed our systems, and we'll invite her to join us later. But just know that this is something that God has done, and he's building a sustainable future for the next generation. But wait, that's not all. Acts chapter 1, I want us to look at this passage with fresh eyes. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's known as the Great Commission. That was, again, Jesus' last words, a different version of it than we read in Matthew. And we see there, the Spirit is empowering, and he says that the mission is going to expand geographically. If we look at the early church in Acts, and we trace it through that, what we find out is that there was more movement than this. This is what ultimately happened, but how did it happen? Well, Acts chapter 6, we see a structural change. The apostles said, hey, it's not good for us to be serving tables. We need to be praying and preaching, right? And so they called deacons, and they got servants to do some of the other work. And then in Acts chapter 13, to get to the ends of the earth, they needed to send out missionaries. So they had to restructure some things and send out missionaries from that local church. In Acts 15, we see a decision-making process where they were confused about some things and they went to a council that was formed to actually tell them how to move forward with Gentile believers, because that was really tough for the Jews of the day. So what we need to understand is the early church, they didn't resist structure. They actually embraced it and changed it as they needed to facilitate the mission that God was doing. See, structure doesn't create mission, but it carries it. We need the right structures. When movement requires clarity, movement requires clarity, because if it's fuzzy and nobody knows who does what, then it's confusing. Growth requires alignment, and then mission requires structure that can carry the weight. While all this was going on, even before all this was going on, as far as Beck determining that God was leading her to go ahead and take this role, there was a stirring inside of me that was questioning our structures, because it's like, oh man, the church has grown beyond what we ever imagined over the last few years. And is the structure that we have today going to sustain us into the future? And the answer inside of me was like, there's no way. This is like getting crazy. And I'm like one person. I am a person, not just a pastor. And I can only do so much. So we started thinking about how we could position to ensure alignment and position for growth, more growth in the future. So we're changing some seats on the bus. Pastor Charlie just lost his job. Did you hear that? Yeah. Because he stepped in to do generations. When there was a need, well, now Pastor Charlie is going to carry the discipleship portfolio and the young adults portfolio. He'll work with life groups and things like that, and a very focused ministry to young adults. That means Pastor Deanna doesn't have a job now, because she was doing discipleship. She wishes, right? Pastor Deanna is going to lean more into her leadership space, as well as we're marrying local mission and global mission. Local mission. Local mission was Catalyst Community Services. You remember we had someone resign from Catalyst Community Services a few weeks ago. And I never love it when people move on, but I always pivot pretty quickly to, okay, what's God doing? What's the opportunity here? And this matches Deanna's passion and heart, and she will be overseeing that as well. Belinda, she's our office manager. You interact with her a lot. Her role is actually going to shift a little bit as well, so that she can invest in that bridge space, the community services space, alongside Deanna. And then a little over a year ago, I got a volunteer PA. And then after about 8-9 months, that PA became a paid PA. And then it's become evident to me that that PA can actually do more than just be a PA. They can do more executive level stuff. So Kelly Gardner is going to be taking on some things that you're going to be bored with but are essential, like HR and finance and some organizational governance kind of things. Those are all huge steps. Kelly is another one who sensed God leading and has quit her other job to take on more responsibility in this space. And I need to note that I just told you the people whose job descriptions are changing. That affects everybody, though, that's in the place. It affects all of our staff and all of our team. And I want you to understand, not diminishing the past with all the changes. We're just adjusting the structure to what God's doing right now. We're grateful for the faithfulness of the past, but now we need to build on that. We don't make all these changes just because we're bored. We make the changes because the mission demands it, and that's where we're at today. Acts chapter 1:8, we never want to forget this part. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Our power is not in our structure. Our power is not in the changes. Our power, Beck's going to do a great job. She's going to knock it out of the park. But it's not because that she's amazing. It's because God is going to empower her through his Spirit. See, the Spirit empowers what God initiates. We're excited about the people God has put in place, but we are 100% dependent on his Spirit working in us and through us to accomplish his mission. Resolve means faithfully responding to what God's doing. And you're probably sitting there thinking, wow, this was an easy message. I can go away from here today and I don't have to do anything. He just told us what they're restructuring around. Yeah, you wish. I'm not done yet. Where do you fit in all of this? Where do you fit? Because vision isn't just something that we applaud. It's something we participate in. It's not just about new roles and a clarified structure. It's about you seeing yourself as part of that future vision. And some of you here today, right now, you're already sensing a stirring about kids men and youth ministry, because we've been talking about that a bit, and you're thinking, wow, that's so exciting. I think God might have me be a part of that. Some of you are being prompted to step out of the stands and onto the field. You've been coming to Catalyst for a while, and you've been soaking it in, and you've been blessed by it, but you're thinking, I actually need to engage more. I need to get more involved. And some of you need to trust God enough to say, hey, this is my church. I'm going to be all in. These are my people. So let me ask you, let me frame it this way. Firstly, where is God inviting you to step in and not sit back? Answer that question for yourself today. And then, where is he asking you to serve and not spectate? And finally, where is he calling you to invest, not just attend? See, there's a difference between fans and followers. And we're calling you to be followers today. We're calling you to be all in. Because, see, when God builds something that lasts, he does it through ordinary people who say yes. See, vision becomes reality when people decide, two simple words, I'm in. Amen. Everything I've told you about today, it's really exciting on the back end and structurally, and I'm excited to see all the fingerprints of God and all of that movement. But friends, that's an org chart filled with people that God is equipping. But it needs your buy-in. It needs you to be all in if we're going to see that happen. This is about where God is taking us. I believe that God is positioning Catalyst for the future, to be a church that builds what lasts, not just for this season, but for generations to come. A church where children don't just attend, but they're discipled, where teenagers don't drift, but they're formed, and where families aren't left alone to figure it out. A church where leaders are aligned and teams are empowered. This is not a year to coast. This is not a year for us to drift. It's not a year for you to spectate. It's a year for us to build, for us to disciple, for us to invest and to align. And we're trusting God has brought us this far. We believe he has much, much more ahead for us in the future. So we're committing to the mission he's given us as a team and as a church today. I want to invite you to do that. We're going to move forward together with faith, with clarity, and with resolve. And I want to say it like this today, and I want you to carry this with you through this year. We resolve to be for real. That's what we've been talking about. To live what we believe and build what lasts. I trust that will be your commitment today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for how you've grown this church. And Lord, we thank you for how you've moved to create space for change, to reorganize around what you're doing. And help us, Lord, to keep following that clearly and directly. And Lord, I thank you for the expanded roles different people are taking. And I thank you for back joining us. And Lord, we are so thrilled and excited. Help us to faithfully lean into what you're doing as a church and as a team. In Jesus' name, amen.